I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Wake up, Catholics. Don't hit the snooze button. Jesus Christ is coming back one day, or you'll be going to him sooner than you even thought. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. My name is Jesse Romero. I am reporting for duty, sir.
Amen, brother. Terry Barber reporting for duty, sir. And I love being able to report to duty to serve the Lord Jesus and his bride, the church. Today's show, we're going to be informing you. This is something where Jesse always talks about low information Catholics. Well, you listen to the Virgin Most Powerful Network, you won't be a low information Catholic, because we're going to be talking about issues like, for example, we have an archbishop here in Kansas City, Kansas, who says President Biden should stop defining himself as a devout Catholic. Well, thank you. We need more bishops like that. We're also going to inform you of something very informative about the new website aimed to educate and offer Catholics responses to gender ideology. This is getting to become so common that we need to have an apologetics. We need to know how to defend our position as Christians. And then, Jess, many times, not always, but I get calls from people who are scrupulous, meaning that they think everything is a sin. And we have the Ten Commandments
of scrupulosity.
Huge, yeah, that happens all the time. Topic. I get calls on that. So this is what we're going to be covering. And, Jess, I have to let everybody know, our YouTube channel just got suspended about 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. And that means for a full week, we won't have our YouTube listeners. And that saddens me. But you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, Jess. We can't stop what we say, because the truth is what we have to preach. Whether we get kicked off of networks, well, that happens, because we can't compromise. So I want to encourage our listeners. In a week, we're supposed to be put back up, but it won't surprise me if they take us down for good. And that's why I tell everybody, they can't take our app down. We have a free app. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio to get that app, and then you're good to go. They can't control us in that respect and what we say. So you know what? Just, hey, we knew it was coming. That's why we're on Parler.
Our engineer.
Rumble. Yep, Rumble and Facebook. We can still hear us there, at least at this point. And this is just part of the cross we have to pay for speaking the truth in charity. But Jess, before we get into all these issues, my favorite part of the show is soul food time, when we get the gospel of Jesus Christ to our folks.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Today, Luke chapter 9, verse 22 to 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I'm going to stop there. That doesn't play over too well with the Protestant TBN channel, the Health and Wealth Gospel Preachers. That goes completely against what they teach 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on that network. Our Lord says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" I like the way the Douay Rheims said it. Or the RSV, it says, "or lose your soul in the process." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How do you lose your soul? Psalm 1 tells you how you lose your soul. It tells you, "Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked." You want to lose your soul? Listen to wicked people. Like the president. Like the vice president. Their policies are wicked.
You want to lose
your soul? Listen to wicked people and their wicked policies. Psalm 1 in today's responsorial psalm at Holy Mass says, "Nor walk in the way of sinners, nor sit in the company of the insolent." Okay, so you want to lose your soul, like the gospel says today? How? Walk with sinners. Hang out with wretched sinners all day. Hang out with insolent people, people that just shake their fist at God all day. You want to lose your soul? Hang out with them. Or you want to save your soul? Psalm 1 tells you how to save your soul. Today's responsorial psalm. But delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. Sounds like Lenten practice to me. You want to save your soul? Meditate. Delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate on his law. Meditative prayer day and night. What St. Paul calls pray without ceasing. And it says in Psalm 1, this because this answers the gospel today. He, in other words, somebody who prays in meditative prayer and somebody who delights in the law of the Lord, what does it say? He's like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Terry, it reminds me, last week, you had an icon who died, Larry Flint. He founded Hustler. He was this man was a porn pusher.
Yep.
In after the footsteps of Hugh Hefner, he just passed away. I read an article that he died an atheist.
Yep.
He did not believe in God. This was a multimillionaire pushing filth throughout the nation, transforming nations, destroying marriages, destroying the lives of men, destroying generations, confusing them as to the proper use of the human body. And this man, Larry Flint, who passed away and went to his exit interview, again, he just brought confusion to a society. He was part of the sexual revolution. Bishop Fulton Sheen says that there's a difference between a bad man and an evil man. He said a bad man does private things that are bad, like, you know, he maybe stays home all day, drinks beer, doesn't work, you know, watches pornography on his laptop or whatever. But he does these isolated sins that affect himself in isolation. Fulton Sheen says an evil man takes his personal sins and forces them on other people, creating maximum damage. By that very definition, Terry, Larry Flint was not a bad man.
Yeah.
He was an evil man.
That's correct. Well said, Jesse. I want to also tie into the gospel for today with Bishop Sheen, so let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Oh, King ahead. Jesse, we have a lot of our listeners who are sick in bed, who are really just offering their suffering for the salvation of souls. So I want to mention this. Bishop Sheen tells all of our friends who are in bed suffering, he says, all of you, therefore, who for months and years have laid crucified on beds of pain, remember that an hour will come when you will be taken down from your cross, and the Savior shall look upon your hands and feet and side to find their imprint of his wounds, which will be your passport to eternal joy. For being made like him in his death, and you shall be made like him in his glory. Just that statement should be so consoling to people like your dad or your mom who are suffering at the end of their lives. We know most of us are going to be suffering.
Oh, yeah.
I want to read that when I'm on my deathbed, Jesse.
Yeah, just old age itself.
Yeah.
That's all. You're already suffering with your bones getting brittle, You know, just all kinds of medical problems, one after another. I mean, that's at that moment, whether you like it or not, you're going to embrace suffering.
That's just how it works.
Yeah. Terry, I also want to mention something because some people have asked about the January 6th insurrection.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck, on his webpage, he has an entire documentary. It's called CNN and NBC paid Antifa agitator at Capitol riot.
Wow.
Now we've got receipts to prove it. So under Glenn Beck News, the article's called CNN and NBC paid Antifa agitator at the Capitol riots. There's also another article by LifeSite News.
Yeah.
Those, because people are emailing me about this.
Sure.
It says Giuliani releases footage of Black Lives Matter agitator giving riot training.
Yeah, I saw that.
Before January 6th Capitol storming. So, Terry, Antifa and Black Lives Matter were behind the tip of the spear to try to make Donald Trump look bad, our former president.
Yeah, I hope we don't get kicked off for saying the truth. That's just the truth. I don't care, really. You know what, Jess? This is what people need to hear. And what's happening, if we don't stand up and push back to these people, they're going to continue to roll over us. So it's time to stand up and say, wait a minute, we have a voice too. This is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. We need to be able to have our opinion expressed also. Hey, I just want to remind people, Jesse, I'm still getting people talking about the Spiritual Warfare Conference from last month.
Wow.
People, you get the talks by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and get the t-shirts. We sold hundreds of t-shirts because people want to stand around and they want to show. I'll tell you what, this is why it's important to show your Catholicism. My hat, I went to the grocery store today. It said, America needs to turn back to God. It's the one I wear all the time. And the checkier lady says, God bless you for standing up for as a Christian, for telling people that we need holiness in our lives. And I don't know her from Adam, but I said, praise God. But you see, we have to be more vocal right now, Jess. We have to wear our Catholicism. I know people say, well, no, I don't show my Catholicism. Why not? We live in a world right now that acts like God doesn't exist. You know, I tell priests, wear the flag, wear your collar. Show people that you're a priest. And sisters, wear your habit. That sign is that we believe in a next life. Hey, when we come back, Jess, here on Terry and Jesse Show, we're going to talk about Archbishop Newman, who's actually saying something that we've been saying, but it's nice to hear an archbishop say it, and that is, President Biden, stop calling yourself a devout Catholic, because that's not true. It's false. We'll be right back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Did you know that Archbishop Nauman, the Archbishop of Kansas City, Kansas, and current chairman of the USCCB's Committee on Pro-Life Activities, yep, he beat out Cardinal Supich for that job, praise be to God. He's discussed the March for Life and other pro-life work in an interview. He also talked a little bit about the vaccines. And he also in this article, he says that why he thinks Joe Biden is usurping the role of the bishops and confusing people. Yep, Biden and Nancy Pelosi, they think that they're the magisterium of the church. Archbishop Joseph Newman of Kansas City, who has served there since 2005, he says that throughout his priesthood, he's been active in supporting the pro-life movement and serves as the chairman of the USCCB Committee on Pro-Life Activities. He was interviewed it was as a result of his homily, because during his homily at the March for Life Vigil Mass at the Basilica at the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., in his homily, he admonished Catholics to fight the culture of death with prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ calls us to in the Gospels, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And so he was asked a question by Catholic World Report. They asked him that in January 2020, 100,000 people participated in the 2020 March for Life, and the featured speaker was President Donald Trump. Where do we stand today? Archbishop Nauman says, quote, the circumstances are very much different. I'd say we had many more than 100,000 at the March for Life a year ago and would have had more than that this year had it not been for the virus and the fears that the march would be taken over by people with other agendas like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Mm-hmm. The passion that our people have to build a culture of life and to protect the most vulnerable, the unborn, is strong, particularly amongst our young people. Terry, my comment is, we just lost the most pro-life president in the history of the United States of America, Donald Trump. And now, we got, truth be told, we got the most pro-abortion president in our lifetime, even more than Barack Obama, Terry.
I agree. It's a 180-degree turn.
Yes.
And you know what, Jesse? I appreciate the Archbishop saying this, but I don't mean to beat a dead horse. But you know, Jess, before the election, I heard so many church people say, well, I don't want to get involved with politics. I can't say anything about this guy until after the election. Why not, Jesse? Why can't we inform our listeners? We can. Or why can't we inform our parishioners as leaders in the church, bishops, the Pope? Where else, Jesse, show me one other tragedy that's going on in the world that kills more people than abortion. Just one. You can't, right? Okay. Then why is this not on the top of our list to stop it? Because I'm convinced, and Jesse, I know you've said this too, so I'm preaching to the choir, if the Catholic Church acted properly regarding pro-life, there would be no abortions. There would be no legalized abortion in America. So I thank the bishop, but it comes a little late. We need right now to learn from this mistake that we made as a church. And I'm going to call it a mistake. And that is, we didn't speak out for the unborn strong enough because maybe there was some fear, there's some cowardness, and also political.
Maybe there's some payoff.
All the above.
All of the above, exactly.
Yeah, all of the above. But here's the big point. He's now saying, yeah, you shouldn't give him, we asked the question in Catholic World Report. For those who want to get the entire interview, it's on Catholic World Report, Father Fessio's magazine. But here's the thing. He asked the question about priests not giving him Holy Communion. You just got to say he did the right thing. Don't say, well, I don't know, he probably would never come to me. You didn't answer the question. Yes. Please, Jesse Romero, you're a priest, let's say. I'm going to ask you a question. If Joe Biden came up to your parish to receive Holy Communion, what would you say?
Make it simple. No.
Absolutely.
You're open about your dissent with moral Catholic teaching that's intrinsically evil.
Yeah.
I'm not guessing. I'm not reading your mind. I'm not God. I can go to the Democrat webpage and see how you voted for 47 years, and I could watch you on YouTube marrying homosexuals. This is public information. It's not private. Right. I don't have to be God to read your mind, Joe Biden.
Right, and that's what I'm looking for. That kind of answer. Not right versus left. Right versus wrong. And it's just wrong for anybody to receive Holy Communion like the President of the United States. And without being condemned by our leaders, because you know what message that sends to everybody else? I'll give you an answer, Jesse. A non-Catholic at one of our funerals told me, hey, this priest told everybody that if they're not going to church and living in the state of grace, they shouldn't be coming up for Holy Communion. He said, I'm a Protestant, but I thought, well, that guy told the people something that I've never heard before. And he's right. If it means something to you guys, you shouldn't come up without really being an active Catholic, which means the sacraments. Here's the point. Even our Protestant brothers acknowledge, Jesse, that we Catholics should live by what we preach and what we teach. And unfortunately, like I said, it's unfortunate that some of the leaders just don't want to take it on the chin and say, Mr. Biden, I'm so sorry, you're the President of the United States, but you don't determine what Catholic teachings are, and you don't determine who's going to receive Holy Communion.
Yeah, Biden and Nancy Pelosi, they're trying to make themselves like the alternate magisterium.
Yep.
Listen to us. No. We've got the power, and we'll tell you what the church teaches. That's no, you don't. Yeah, these guys are heretics.
Yep.
They're dissenters. And I'm going to be honest, Terry. We're going to see how people are going to get heartburned real soon. If they don't know. Start looking at the gas prices around, even here in Arizona.
Yeah.
They went from like 210 to 215. They're up to 275. They'll be at $3 by March, and so they'll jump 75 cents immediately in Joe Biden's first 30 days in office. Terry, his press secretary was also asked, and you can watch this. It's on the internet. Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, the one that's always they ask her a tough question, she says, I got to circle back on that.
That's a famous line now.
Yeah, because that's when she has a tough question. So she was asked if Joe Biden is going to fund abortions. And she's been picked on so much about I'll circle back. She just says, well, everybody knows our position, so there's no need to answer that question. Let's move on. In other words, what she's saying, yes, the COVID relief funds are going to go to support abortion businesses as well, because basically she's saying we are the most pro-abortion administration in U.S. history, And we got the power, and we're going to use COVID money to fund abortion. Take that to the bank. You know, that's basically what she said. By not saying it, she just deflected the question. She says, everybody knows our position. There's no need for me to repeat it. Next question. In other words, she danced pretty well around the question, saying, you know what? Don't ask a stupid question. You know we're pro-abortion. You know we're going to give as much money to fund the killing of babies as we can. And so next question, that's essentially what she said.
Jesse, I got to answer a question that came to me. They said, look, I made a mistake and I voted for Biden this past election and I realized I regret it. And I said, well, I'm going to make a suggestion. You go to confession. You say, I voted for Biden knowing that he was killing unborn babies. And then as restitution, I told people, get involved in the pro-life movement.
Yes.
And get involved with Father Frank Pavone at Priest for Life and volunteer to make, I'll call it, reparation for Absolutely. What you did. Just that question's been coming up to me, so I just want to make it public. I'm willing to say that's the advice I have. So if you've listened to her right now, voted for President Biden for this year's presidential election, make reparation by doing pro-life work and offering that sacrifice up. Because I objectively, if you know that he was going to kill babies, then you need to go to confession and confess that. Jess, call me a fundamentalist. It's just the facts.
No, because the catechism actually tells you, it's in paragraph 18, I think between 57 to 61, it tells you that there's 8 different ways to be complicit in somebody else's sin.
Yeah.
And one of the ways to be complicit is you participate in Joe Biden's sin is if you voted for him.
Right.
You are now complicit in the fact that he's president transgender and president pro-abortion. And so if you voted for him, you're complicit in putting him in office because he told us what he was going to do.
Right.
And you enabled him and participated by your vote in him doing what he's exactly doing right now. Terry, here's another question that CWR, Catholic World Report, asked the Archbishop. They said, do you think it was a mistake to cancel the March for Life? Will it return next year? Archbishop Newman said, it was a wise and prudent decision to cancel the march considering the event at the Capitol that happened a few weeks ago before. It was not the time to have a mass demonstration, and God willing, it will definitely return next year. I think that was prudent because here's what would have happened. Antifa and Black Lives Matter, just like they did for January 6th, they would have had strategy meetings. Mm-hmm. They would have infiltrated the March for Life. They would have caused acts of violence. And then, of course, the mainstream media, which is hard left, they would have said, see, you get a bunch of pro-lifers at Washington, D.C. They were looting businesses. They were breaking windows. They were, you know, starting fires in trash cans. And it would have been all done by BLM and Antifa. But, of course, the mainstream media would not have reported it. And so I think it was a good thing that they closed it down for this year because, again, you just can't trust these anarchists that are out there. And Terry, these anarchists operate with the blessings of Joe Biden.
Yep.
Go to Antifa.com.
Of course,
go to Antifa.com right now on your phone or on your computer, and it'll take you to the White House's website with a picture of Joe Biden.
Birds
Antifa.com takes you to the White House website.
Birds of the feather flocking together. Hey, I want to remind people, if they want to ask a question on the air, our toll-free number is 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151. And do us a favor. We're not on YouTube right now, but tell your friends to download our free app. We have a free app that anywhere in the world people can listen to us. Anywhere. Go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org to get that free app and tell your friends about what we're doing because it's true. What we're telling people is not common on the media. And that's how we get out is because of you, our listener, telling your friends. If you want cards that you can hand to people, we've handed hundreds of thousands of these cards out, just call us at 877-526-2151 and we'll get you these cards that you can share with your friends about Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
That's right. Here's another hot question he was asked by Catholic World Report.
Yeah.
They asked him, Mr. Biden professes to be a devout Catholic, yet is 100% pro-choice on abortion. How do you think America's bishops ought to respond to this situation? Archbishop Nauman says, I can tell you how this bishop is responding, and I'll save it right there.
That's a teaser. That's a teaser. When we come back, you'll find out what the Archbishop said about Biden coming up to receive Holy Communion and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. I like to tell you that Jess and I are too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, the both of us would be billionaires here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Terry and Jesse Show, too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we would be billionaires.
Amen, brother.
So Archbishop Nauman, who's the USCCB Pro-Life Committee Chair,
he
was asked a straight question by Catholic World Report. So Joe Biden professes to be a devout Catholic, yet he's 100% pro-choice. How do you think America's bishops ought to respond to this situation? Archbishop Nauman from Kansas says, I can tell you how this bishop is responding, namely himself. The president should stop defining himself as a devout Catholic and acknowledge that his view on abortion is contrary to Catholic moral teaching. It would be a more honest approach from him to say he disagreed with his church on this important issue and that he was acting contrary to church teaching. When he says he's a devout Catholic, we bishops have the responsibility to correct him.
Repeat that statement.
When he says he's a devout Catholic, we bishops have the responsibility to correct him.
Yep.
Although people have given this president power and authority, not me, not Terry, he cannot define what it is to be a Catholic and what Catholic moral teaching is. Right. Archbishop Corleone said about Nancy Pelosi, that she doesn't define what Catholic moral teaching is. So you got two bishops that are speaking out. Archbishop Nauman says, what Biden is doing now is usurping the role of the bishops and confusing people. He's declaring that he's Catholic and is going to force people to support abortion through their tax dollars. The bishops need to correct him, as the president is acting contrary to the Catholic faith. Great statement by Archbishop Nauman.
Yep.
The next one, Terry, this is another very good one. So he's asked, he says, CWR reporter says, Father Robert Morey of St. Anthony Church in Florence, South Carolina, refused to give then-candidate Joe Biden Holy Communion at Mass in 2019 because of Joe Biden's pro-abortion stance. What do you think of Father Morey's action? Archbishop Nauman says, I think he was acting on and following his conscience. I believe the president has the responsibility not to present himself for Holy Communion. When Catholics receive the Eucharist, they are acknowledging the real presence of Jesus and also belief in the teachings of the church.
Amen.
President Biden doesn't believe in the church's teachings on the sanctity of human life, and he should not put the priest in the situation where he has to decide whether or not to allow him to receive the Eucharist. He should know that after 78 years as a Catholic. My comment, that's embarrassing. Post-Vatican II, after 78 years as a Catholic, he has not been properly catechized by the modernist church, Terry.
Well, not only him, Pelosi and all these Catholics who are dissenters. What's happened, Jesse, is for 60 straight years, the catechesis has been so thrown out and forgotten that these people are not knowing their faith very well, and they're becoming in positions of power, and they just don't... And they're not convicted. They don't believe in the supernatural teachings of Jesus Christ. They're only on the horizontal level. And that's an indictment on our church also, is what I'm saying. But it's nice to hear an archbishop say, wait a minute. No. You can't be receiving Holy Communion. Now, Jesse, this isn't in the article, but a new cardinal in Washington, D.C., Cardinal Gregory, he says, no, I'm going to give him communion. He's been given communion for years. I'm not going to make a Holy Communion a political football. Jess, what would you say to that?
he's going against the teachings of the church.
A cardinal basically. Is doing it. Yep.
Right. He's going against the teachings of the church.
Yep.
He's going against the teachings of the New Testament. St. Yep. Paul, yep. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 to 31.
There you go.
He's going against the teachings of the catechism. You know, for some that say, well, you know, we should just listen to everything that Vatican II says and forget everything before that. Well, Vatican II says in the New Catechism that you can't present yourself for Holy Communion if you've got mortal sin.
Yep.
So that hasn't changed.
Nope.
From Trent to Vatican II, you can't go to Holy Communion if you're in a state of mortal sin because you eat and drink judgment upon yourself. And Terry, and probably the last thing I would say about this is that as Scott Hunt talks about this, that when somebody receives Holy Communion in a state of mortal sin, he says, again, that Holy Communion now becomes your death sentence.
Yeah.
Because that's what St. Paul calls it. You're eating and drinking judgment or condemnation upon yourself. So the Holy Eucharist is either your bread of life that's going to get you to heaven, or it's your death warrant.
Yep. Well,
and a lot of people that are receiving the Holy Eucharist in a state of mortal sin, Terry, it's not sanctifying grace. It's their death, their eternal death sentence.
And Jesse, I want to add one more thing before we move on to the next topic. And that is the perennial teachings of the church teach that you cannot receive Holy Communion in the objective state of mortal sin. And not the Pope, not an Archbishop, not a Cardinal, not Jesse Romero or Terry Barber. None of us can change that teaching. So if someone tells you, oh, it's okay, they don't have that authority to say that. And I just want to make that clear because we have so many people high in the church who come up with like, oh yeah, I'll just change that. No. And I want to reassure every single person listening right now, the only thing you're going to hear on Virgin Most Powerful Radio are the perennial teachings of the church. If we have something that comes up from a bishop, a cardinal, who's a priest, who says something contrary to that, we're gonna say, no, that's not consistent with the perennial teachings of the church. If you have that attitude, you won't get confused.
Here's another good question. What other pro-life concerns do you have, Archbishop Naumann?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, again, he's the USCCB chair committee for the pro-life activities in the U.S. He's from Kansas, Archbishop Joseph Naumann. He says, on a national level, the greatest concern I have is that the president and speaker of the House want to do away with the Hyde Amendment. Hyde, by the way, the former senator or congressman, he was a great Catholic. He was a practicing Catholic and, you know, may God rest his soul. He says, which prohibits federal tax dollars from funding abortion. The pro-abortion side is moving away from the language of choice and is coercing people to get involved with abortion. In this case, using their tax dollars for something they believe is immoral. We need to speak strongly to our representatives. This is unacceptable. Then he's asked Terry about another thing that's very dangerous, and it goes into the whole transgender thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is where the Democrats are going. This is dangerous.
Yes.
So they asked him, the reporter from CWR says, are you concerned, Archbishop, about the passage of H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act, which House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has said will be a momentous step towards finally and fully ending discrimination against LGBTQ Americans? Archbishop Naumann said, yes, it concerns me very much. I fear it will coerce religious institutions like ours to do things that violate our conscience or prevent us from participating in government programs. This is related to gender issues and other issues as well. Unless it can be improved, I would oppose it vigorously. And what they're trying to do is this is just a communist tactic.
Oh, yeah.
It's they're trying to confuse people as to genders and sexuality. And so this would force people, for example, if you start making statements about the LGBT issues and lifestyle, you're going to be arrested or you're going to be deplatformed.
It's coming.
You're going to be canceled.
Yep.
Yeah. And you can already see.
Yep.
The dog whistle, Terry. The Canadian bishops, even years ago, because they're far, farther left, way farther left than we are.
Yeah.
they took out Romans chapter 1 from their lectionary. So if you go to Mass every day in the Canadian Catholic Church, you will never hear Romans chapter 1 where St. Paul rails against homosexuality and lesbianism.
Jesse, I just want to remind everybody, the Hyde Amendment was passed in 1976. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people walking on the planet are alive because of Henry Hyde's Hyde Amendment. And now, President Biden wants to get rid of the Hyde Amendment where these babies will be murdered in the womb. That's why we have to stand up. And Jess, I just want to say that I can see the writing on the wall that we're going to teach the Sixth Commandment. We're going to teach God's teachings on morality. And we can see a day when they're going to throw us in jail for saying that homosexuality is a sin. But I have to tell all our listeners, I'm prepared. I've been there before. I'm an old guy. You think I'm going to change to say, oh, Terry, you can't say that homosexuality is evil, it's bad, because the country says we have to be, equal with that. When I say, well, I'm going to continue to preach the gospel, and if that means I got to go to jail, well, then, yes, we start preaching in jail. That's because we have to stand up. We have to push back. If we don't push back, folks, this is only going to get worse. So I want to encourage you to pray and act like a soldier. That's all.
Terry, here's one more good question from the bishop. He was asked about vaccines. I want to get this in. He was asked, you've had some public conversations recently about the morality of receiving COVID-19 vaccines, which may have been developed using human tissue taken from aborted babies. Mm-hmm. Your focus, if I'm correct, Bishop, is whether or not Catholics could morally receive such vaccines. Not if they should or shouldn't. Is that correct? Archbishop Nauman says this. Yes, that is a statement I made with Bishop Kevin Rhodes of Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana. We said that it is permissible for Catholics to receive the vaccine if they choose to do so, and their motivation may be a positive one. Concern for spreading the virus to the vulnerable in our society. I disagree with him. I disagree with him respectfully, but I'll read it. So he says, Archbishop Nauman says, we all have a moral obligation to work for the common good, and protecting the vulnerable through a vaccination can be a good, but you should not be compelled to do so. So he throws us a little red meat there, but don't force them.
I like that principle that says you can never do an evil that good could come.
But anyway, most of our bishops have forgotten about that principle, Terry.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to shift gears, folks. Talking about new website aimed to educate and offer Catholic responses to gender ideology, just what we were talking about. High information, Catholic radio on Virgin, most powerful radio on the Terry and Jesse Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Deception comes from Satan, and lies come from Satan. And the whole LGBT agenda and the whole transgender agenda comes from the diabolical. It's good to see, Terry, that there's a Catholic Woman's Forum in Washington, D.C.
Love it.
That they're launching a new Catholic website to educate parents, pastors, and teachers about gender ideology, and especially young people, because they're the ones that are often exposed to these lies. And so this website's going to have, scientific evidence. Talk about follow the science.
Yes.
Against those ideologies. It's going to have explanations of church teaching on the topic. And the goal is to promote a Catholic vision of
the human person. Yep.
You got Dr. Susan Wright, a philosophy professor at St. John Vianney Seminary in Denver, Colorado. She told Catholic News Agency that the project aims to provide the most up-to-date information about the current trends in society regarding gender. And this website defines gender ideology.
This is key right here.
As a false system of beliefs about the human person, premised on the idea that human identity becomes the choice of the individual.
Yeah.
That's the money sentence
exactly.
Right there, Gary.
Yep. I agree. And gender ideology asserts that individuals' rights to transition to a desired identity using social, medical, or even surgical intervention, this is what they're saying we should be able to do. This is where reality is not reality. And it makes me laugh because, well, we just come right back to where God, the site explains that the Catholic teaching on gender includes the 2019 Vatican document, male and female, he created them. It also includes testimonies, I like this, Jesse, from doctors who do not support the idea of gender transition, and the warnings about gender therapists, most of them are trained to affirm and recommend transition. See, they're very one-sided. And so this is a what we call high information website.
Yeah, Terry, over there in California, they Dr. Nicolosi, who's from Southern California, from Encino, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah.
He was an expert on this topic right here. He was the world expert on homosexuality and LGBT and lesbianism. He started NARTH, National Association of Reparative Therapy. So many Catholic therapists across the country were using what's called reparative therapy to help homosexuals and lesbians transition to become normal once again and leave their delusion. Well, California, I don't know how many other states have done it, but California was the first state to say it's against the law. They made up a law out of whole cloth that parents can't take minors to reparative therapy to try help them transition from a homosexual or a lesbian back to a normal young man or young woman. So I don't know how many other states have made it illegal, but again, this is the fight that we're in right now. They're trying to force us to say what they want us to say, and they want to force us to think that the way they want us to think. That's plain and simple communism, my friends.
And they also consider us hateful towards us who want to change people back to the original sex that they were born with. That's hateful. See, the only way to rightly love a person is in the context of truth, Jesse. That's what I love about this website. She said, therefore, questioning a person's decision to transition can be a loving decision born out of desire for what is best for the person. We've got people that have been waiting on hold, Jesse, and they're telling me, take those calls. So let me get my Comrex up, Jess. We've got Scott in Orange County. Scott, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Go ahead, brother. You've been on the hold for a while.
Hey, Terry and Jesse, thanks for the information and all the stuff that you do for us. Keep up the fight. Yeah, I have two questions.
Okay.
One question is about Our Lady of Fatima.
Yep.
She did talk about, the United States becoming communist?
No, she didn't. She talked about consecrating Russia. She talked about the country of Russia as they promoted, really to be converted. Go ahead. But nothing about the United States.
The U.S. wasn't mentioned,
no.
Right?
Okay. So, because I mean, it's eerily how it's coming, because once you go down with sexuality and the things.
Yeah, but she did say. She said if Russia's not consecrated, she will spread her errors.
Exactly.
And so the consequences of what we're seeing in the U.S. is the spreading of communism as a result of Russia not being consecrated.
Yes. And I can see that, because the sexuality is taking hold here. It's like dehumanizing us to the point where we no longer need to procreate or do anything like that, which is immoral.
Right.
And it goes against church teaching. So I see that. My second question is about when I attended the Spiritual Warfare Conference, and I had a question, because you know they said fathers are allowed to bless their children.
Yes.
Well, what about those that are been remarried to the church through the fathers that have gotten married to somebody in the church that is properly done through the annulment process?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If it's properly done through the annulment process and you're sacramentally married, if that spouse brought other kids in as a result of a prior relationship, you have absolute authority by natural law and divine law to bless your children.
I hope that helps.
Absolutely.
Because
a man has power to bless everything in his house, articles and persons. That's church teaching. So you as a father, strep children, foster children, they're in your house. That house is your castle. You have the authority to bless them because of the union, the sacramental union with your spouse.
Great, Scott. I appreciate you calling, brother. You're a good man.
Right, thank you.
God bless. Right. Stanton in Salt Lake City has a question for us. Go ahead, Stanton. Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I love your guys' show.
Thanks, man.
And I didn't know if you guys knew. YouTube already deleted you.
Yes, I'll tell you why. You asked the question. Why did they do it? You can blame me. I am a big devotee of Bishop Athanasius Snyder, and I played this week a little clip from him answering the question about the morality of taking COVID-19's vaccine. And the bishop said it was immoral because of the connection with abortion. And YouTube said, that's it. You guys are off for a week. So we'll come back in a week. But I'm sure, to be honest with you, I'm prepared, you know, that we can't compromise. We're going to be off forever. But that's why we're going to all the other formats to try and make the transition now.
That's right.
So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. I went to your website and I was able to listen to you on there.
Yes. Thanks for telling people
for
that.
For a while, but yeah, just wanted to let you know. And appreciate your show.
Hey, pray for us and pray that Jess, Terry, and all the crew here at Virgin Most Powerful will never compromise no matter what.
Amen.
Okay? Thanks, brother.
I will.
You got it.
Thank you very much. You bet.
Jess.
Terry, it says here this article on this new website that's going to be put up giving Catholics answers on gender ideology, a new Catholic website. And it's going to be very faithful to the perennial magisterium of the church.
Yep.
It's going to be for educators, parents, pastors, people that want answers to familiarize themselves with these gender ideology questions and how to respond to them. It says a leading LGBT activist group last year called for Biden administration to create accreditation regulations of religious schools that would enforce acceptance of transgender rights. And in one of his first acts in office, Biden signed an executive order to interpret sex discrimination in federal law to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Mary Rice Hassan, an attorney at the Catholic Women's Forum, said in a recent interview, she says, "We hope that our website and expertise will assist people from all faith traditions. The Christian vision of the human person that we promote was until recently accepted by most Christian denominations as well as the wider secular world. A sound science, biological reality is not a matter of faith, but God is the author of the created world. So it's no surprise that science solidly supports the truth of the human person as explained by faith." And Hassan said adolescent girls, children with autism, pre-existing mental health issues, histories of trauma or abuse, and those already in trouble fitting in and are socially isolated are particularly vulnerable to gender ideology. Terry?
Jesse, all I can say is get to the website. And Jess, I want to remind everybody, if you have issues with scrupulosity, which is defined as thinking everything.
Yeah, we can move that to tomorrow.
Oh, we'll do it. Then we'll do it for tomorrow. Then I'll just shift gears and say, Jess, we got a minute or two to talk about solutions. That is the five stones of King David. What we should be doing, especially during this Lenten season. Talk about Christ and him crucified.
Yeah. 1 Samuel 17, David slew Goliath with five stones.
Mm-hmm.
We have five stones. It's called the Holy Rosary. Pray your rosary every day. Don't make any excuses.
Nope.
Practice smash mouth Catholicism. Grind it out. Praying the rosary is like grounding and pounding. No, it doesn't feel good. Yeah, you get distracted. The catechism says demons are going to distract you immediately when you start praying because prayer hurts them. So they want to stop you. Practice smash mouth Catholicism. Just grind it out and pray. Number two, second stone, read your Bible every day. St. John Chrysostom, doctor of the church, says when a demon sees you reading your Bible, they take off. They're gone. They can't be in the presence of somebody reading God's word. Three, go to Mass as often as possible, especially during Lent. Again, St. John Chrysostom also says the time when you look most ferocious to a demon is when you have the Holy Eucharist in your mouth and you're in a state of grace. St. John Chrysostom says, a demon looks at you walking back from Holy Communion. You look at that moment like a lion breathing fire from your mouth and they flee your presence. Fourth stone, penance, penance, and penance. Fridays for sure, every single Friday. Old school, they call that the Ember Days in the old rite. It's Wednesdays, Fridays and Saturdays are days of penance. So that's what I'm doing. Those are the days that I'm fasting and abstaining from meat. Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, that's called Ember Days in the old rite. And finally, stay in a state of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. Live in the state of grace. Now, you can't find that on Google Maps. You're not going to find that on the Thomas Guide. You're going to find it by going to confession at least once a month.
And I want to remind everybody, faith is not a leap in the dark. It's being bathed in a divine light. That's my definition today. Hey, I want to remind everybody that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. This is Lent. Let's offer up some sacrifices for the salvation of souls, especially your loved ones, especially our leaders in our church. I'm sorry. Yes, I said that. And in the state. Yeah. So let's, because Our Lady said souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices. We've got Dr. Sandoval up next, but before we sign off, we have to ask Jesse a question. Yes. What state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin.
You got it. Hey,
pretty
up next,
simple.
We've got Dr. Sandoval. The doctor is in. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. God bless you and your family. Keep the faith.